What's going on, good people? What's going on? Another episode of Sauce Talk is here. This is Sunday morning, the day after some good fight action. We had Misfits Boxing with an event. Of course, everybody knows the headline. Tommy Fury going up against KSI, JJ, as they like to call him. And we had Logan Paul going against Dylan Danis in his debut in the boxing ring. Mixed martial artist, jiu-jitsu, you know, fighter. Who mostly got his name for being an MMA fighter, but you know, he's one of those jiu-jitsu guys that be in those jiu-jitsu tournaments that crossed over to MMA that was, you know, a ground guy. But of course, you know, you can be famous in many ways in today's time, being viral, doing this, whatever. He is pretty much poked, provoked a fight with pretty much a lot of names that goes around with when it was Kingpin Boxing, or you know, if it was the Logan Paul, Jake Pauls, or it was, you know, just anything he can do to keep his name out there. He's kind of like a lower tier Andrew Tate, whatever you want to call it. What was it, Tate? I forgot his first name. But then we had Saul Poppy going up against Slim from Brooklyn. Saul Poppy from the Philippines. Slim, I think people know him from social media. A lot of these Misfits guys are social media YouTubers, content creators. They get their bones from that. You know, a lot of followers, big time followers. I think one of them, Wenderson Nunez. I think he had like what 50 million followers or something like that. 15 or something. Dan, the man Nate the Great or whatever. My mate Nate, he had like 15 million followers. So it's a lot of money that can be made with these boxing matches, because the following that these content creators and little celebrities, that these, they're not little celebrities, they're big time. You know, people know, love these people, they love their content. So they get out there and they box and they take it so seriously, and that's what I love. They're not going out there treating it like Screech versus a kid from Growing what was the show? Bridges. What you talking about, Willis? So when you have that, that's one of the key important things of this fight game, to where we look at it as like the hardcore fight fans. That's the respect of it. Take it serious. Don't make a mockery out of it. We'll get to somebody who definitely did not do that and definitely should not get the chance to be able to... He shouldn't get the chance to do anything better. He should not get a chance to get back in the ring. We'll get to that. But later on tonight, we had boxing. You know, boxing was what, you know, pro boxing was something on the line. We had new WBC 154-pound champion Tim Bazzugo against Brian Mendoza. Brian Mendoza coming off of a big-time win on Sebastian Fandora, who knocked him out. One of the best knockouts of the year, going up against Tim Bazzugo. And, you know, he has two losses coming into this fight, trying to get things going after a big knockout win. And Tim Bazzugo, an undefeated fighter who just now been awarded the WBC 154 title after Jermell Charlo took the leap and bound to fight Canelo Alvarez in that sham of a performance by him. Now, he's going to want to be coming back down to his weight class and wanting to be fighting Tim Bazzugo. Tim Bazzugo called out Jermell Charlo after the victory and decision. He looked very good in the fifth round. Definitely started opening up some things. Six and going on to that, he started to really hit Brian Mendoza, because the first few rounds, Mendoza was ready. He was throwing hard shots, but there's a difference. Tim Bazzugo was ready at all times. And what I mean by that, Tim Bazzugo is ready to exchange. He's ready to bang. He's ready to do some very serious things for a little piece of change. You know what I'm saying? He can go in there and the fight can be for 10,000, 20,000. He looked like he's ready to fight, take punches no matter. If you give him a chance to make some millions, he's really going to put on the show. His dad, you know, was a fighter that we watched come up, that he beat Zab Judah. Zab Judah on a path of being in music videos, being a superstar boxer, you know, Mike Tyson hanging out with him. We was like, Zab Judah, he's next, you know, he's nice. And then Costa Zoo put him down. So to see, you know, myself getting older, watching Tim Zoo come up and fight is something crazy. And now he is in the catbird seat, wanting Jermell Charlo, wanting anybody to come up. Errol Spence, Bud Crawford. Now you can look at guys like to defend his title in that 154 range, who's going to want to do it? You know, is Jared Hurd going to get back in shape and try to, you know, get back in the swing of things? We don't know. Jaime McGill, where's he at? Where's, you know, where's these names that can combat? Iris Landry Lara, who was supposed to be fighting Danny Garcia, didn't happen. So is Danny Garcia going to step in the way of Tim Zizou? Is it going to be Lara? Hate saying his first name. But it's just going to shake up things. But it was nice to see that go down. Miguel Berchelt, he fought as well. Wasn't all excited to see his fight. It was kind of weird timing on a lot of the different fights that he had that was going on yesterday, different times. But Miguel Berchelt, he came away with a victory. Diego Alberto Ruiz, and decision. And that's how you do it right there. Round 12 decision. Got it done. Diego Alberto came in with 6 losses. And, you know, Miguel got back on a good foot. Get a good victory, you know. That's a good job. He has, you know, that's the thing. The 3 losses he got are 3 KOs. So the guy like that that comes in the way that Miguel comes in, he had to change up something or be more elusive. Try to last in a fight. Don't be in a fight to where you get put out the way you did against Oscar Valdez. Oh my Lord. Oscar put him in a blender. But yeah. I'm happy that Miguel got a dub. You know, very happy about that, because even Nakathila got rid of him, you know what I'm saying, by decision. So it was like, is it the end for Miguel? Because, you know, I was one of the Miguel Berchelt fans, and, you know, still, you know, look out and see if he's still doing good. But after losing to Oscar Valdez and Valdez losing to Shakur the way he did, I don't see Miguel beating Shakur. Or Edwin De Los Santos. You know, I think that will be a fight to where De Los Santos will hurt him. He's a tough guy. Now, that's coming December the 9th. December 2nd is Haney Pro Grace. The 25th of November, of course, we got the big card headlining Andre Benavidez, Charlo, Jose Benavidez. We got rumors of, you know, thanks to David Benavidez, who said he might get in trouble, but there's rumors that Boots Ennis might be in this card. You know, we got some good names already booked, and then we might get Boots Ennis. Wow, against who? You know, that would be pretty cool if that happened. So, back to Misfits Boxing. Misfits Boxing in the weekend that they had, you know, from Elbrook getting choked out by fighters, a lot of trash talk, a lot of people sitting there saying this and that before the fight, trying to make fights. I mean, the trash talk was like crazy throughout the whole week. The whole setup of this has been entertaining, and I think for a packed crowd in the UK, it just goes to show that boxing is so loved over there. It's so loved. Like, boxing is like, it's king in the UK. It's loved over here in the States, but it really gets the love it really does get the love over there, definitely. And to put a little bit more on it, is that when you have celebrities going to the events and then end up being in a fight, that goes to show you what type of it kind of just goes to show you how thick it is, you know what I'm saying, when you go into one of those places and the next thing you know, you're training for a fight, or you done got into an altercation with somebody. So I mean, like that's like one of the crazier things in that arena, is that, you know, Tyson Fury was there, he was pumped up, you know, pumped up for his family, getting into being in a fight. I mean, it was a good event, very good event. King Kenny, Anthony Taylor, yeah, Saul Poppy Slim, going for vacant boxing belts. You know, Misfits is doing better with Kingpin Boxing Tournament that abruptly ended due to not paying people. I mean, Kingpin Boxing was the start of this and was really making headway, and that's why I'm glad that something came and took the banner and was going to hopefully run it right with Misfits Boxing. But Kingpin, it was doing the same thing, had some of the same fighters. They had some good things going. They had a belt system. They had, you know, weight classes, and it was all, you know, YouTube creators, guys like that. You know, you're not getting no pro fighters coming in the mix of this, and it was a good thing going. But when you're not paying your people, that's when you're going to lose. And when you're not paying the people, that's when you're going to get cussed out. And that's what ended up happening. The Kingpin Boxing Tournament abruptly ended. And now we have this Misfits Boxing, and then you had titles on the line. And that's what the part that I liked about it right there. So, with the card, we had, of course, it was a preliminary card with some matches. I'm mad that I did not get to see Astrid Wett play. I'm going to go against Alexia, because I know Elbrook was probably acting crazy, did some stuff. I have to look at some highlights and see how that went and things of that nature. Whenever I started paying attention and started the card, was on the main card, and that was Nicola Mal and Alex Wasabi. Those went up against Lucas Pineda and B. Dave. And that was crazy to see. This is my second tag team match that I've seen for boxing. The first one I seen was with, I forget his name, because he don't really have a name. He'd be eating the food. The black dude would be eating the food. Like, woo, 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 woo. He'd be, like, putting all the sauce and stuff in there. It'd be like, when he bites the food, he act like he just tasted Jesus. You know? Pause. I can't think of his name. But he went up against the pizza guy and lost in a one-on-one fight. And then he fought in a tag team match, and he won. He looked good. He's a good boxer. He's a good, you could tell that he grew up watching boxing, but got some good people to train him in boxing. So I hope to see him in some more one-on-one matches in the Misfit Boxing. So whoever out there, what your name is, eating the crazy food, all crazy, get in there. Get back in the ring. But it was a tag team match between those two, these four gentlemen. You can tag at any time. I mean, it was tags with 15 seconds left. It was tags whenever somebody got hurt. I wouldn't let nobody tag if I hurt you. I mean, if that was the rule where you got to back off, it'd be tough not to. But dude hit him with a right hand. He got hurt, and he was able to go and tag. I'm like, shit, go for the gusto. That's where I didn't really like that. But, you know, it just that's just how it was. I want to say, damn, I remember who won that fight. I want to say it was the Pineda, Lucas Pineda and B. Dave won the fight. Nicola Mal was just too tired. Couldn't even get back in the ring. Wasabi was really the only one kind of bringing it. Matter of fact, they the one ones. Wasabi really carried it. He won. Wasabi won for Nicola Mal, I would say. Because Nicola Mal, he landed a few hard shots. But Alex Wasabi had a little bit more fortitude and got it done. That's right, they won. Because I was sitting there laughing at the fact the dude had a freaking spicy fruit on the back of his trunks. I mean, on a tattoo on his back. Weird. King Kenny versus Anthony Taylor was a fight that I was wanting to say. King Kenny was, you know, a Kingpin participant. So was Anthony Taylor. So going for the vacant Misfits boxing. What is it? Cruiserweight? I think it was going for the Cruiserweight belt. King Kenny, with length, height, things of that nature that was going to carry him in this fight, did not go in his favor because he smothered himself. He smothered. He kept letting Taylor come inside. Taylor's 5'7". They came in, both weighing 160 pounds. Taylor was just a little bit, no, 150 pounds, excuse me. Taylor was just a little bit more physical, more quick, was landing the right hands, was just doing things that was unorthodox for King Kenny to try to space. If he could have backed up, stepped around, things like that, he probably could have been more effective, could have landed some better shots, could have avoided some holding. He was holding very much as well. He got a point taken away from him. So he lost that fight purely on just not knowing range. You got to know your range. You got to know your distance. Knowing that, okay, I can keep him out here and not let him come and smother what I got going on. And that's why he lost. So King Kenny, you got to learn. Can't let yourself get smothered. Fight of the night for me. Fight of the night. Dean the Great versus Wally Sharks. That was fight of the night. Wally Sharks, so much fortitude. Wally Sharks showed so much fortitude. Dean, I cannot stand when a boxer does that whole humping thing. Like, don't hump your opponent, man. Like, grow up. But he showed so much quickness when counterpunching. He showed so much, like, just, like, I was like, wow, is he ready for a pro fight? Head movement, the counterpunching, the snappiness, the quickness, the uppercuts, the left hand. He said in the third round his shoulder slipped out of the place a little bit, so he kind of chilled with the left hand. But the right hand was working. But then come Wally Sharks after taking a beating, comes out of nowhere and starts wailing on Dean the Great. This is their second fight from what I'm understanding, and I need to see a third one because Dean the Great got the win. But Wally Sharks shows that if it was one more round, he could have won. And it was a 4-round fight. It needs to be a 6-rounder. Swear to God, that was a hell of a fight right there, man. It was two rounds, and it was, you know, no way that Wally Sharks could have won the fight on points the way he was getting beat up. But that last round, he brought it. I mean, he looked like he was out on his feet, woke up at the end of the third round, and then that fourth round really brought it. Like, body shots, head shots. He had Dean the Great messed up for a second, but Dean the Great showed great balance and stayed on his feet and didn't get knocked down like Wally Sharks did twice in the fight. Got knocked down twice, was getting pummeled out there. That was a fight. Then next we had Salt Poppy versus Slim, which was cold fighter tonight. Slim was getting, I ain't gonna say he was getting done like how Dean the Great was doing Wally Sharks. I can't say that. He was getting beat to the punch. I'm gonna break down Salt Poppy real quick. I hope Salt Poppy one day hears this. You know, somebody be like, hey man, listen to this podcast from this kid from the States. And I try to tell something about Salt Poppy in his comment sections. Try to reach out to him on X, you know, or at him on certain little things. A person that determined he is with fitness. Somebody who fell in love with the sport of boxing. A plus size, overweight person that got in shape and loves the sport. You got to look at the finer details of the game of boxing, man. You got to go watch a film or something that shows head movement, defense, other hands. You know, the problems that somebody would have that takes the sport seriously like him is that I don't want him to fall out of it. You know, that's two losses in a row to where he looks at it like, well, possibly this ain't for me no more. Or, it was fun, but I don't want to go out there and lose. I don't want him to be discouraged in that light. I would want him to really want to go out there and do better. Use your other hand. You have a whole right hand, buddy. You're a southpaw using nothing but your left. That's kind of dumb. Southpaws use their jab. Pernell Whitaker, you look through the times of southpaws. Demetrius Andre, if you look, watch him today, you go watch southpaws like freaking Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence. They use a jab. Then you bring the left. That's one thing. Two, where's your head movement, son? Because you were winning the fight. And you refuse to move your head. So when you refuse to move your head, you decide I'm going to taunt and poke my head and drop my hands. Look what happened to you. It's a 5-round fight. No, this was a 6-round fight, I believe. 6-round fight. Might have been 5. I think it was 5. Vacant title. Slim is undefeated. You're not. Slim was... Only thing that was wrong with Slim was it seemed like the southpaw stance was getting to him, but he figured it out because Salt Poppy wasn't using the full ability of a southpaw technique. Wasn't defending, wasn't rolling punches, you wasn't using your head, you didn't throw an uppercut, and you didn't throw a right hand. You just threw nothing but your left. You go watch the CompuBox numbers if they ever have a thing for this misfit boxing. He probably threw 10 right hands because of combinations of like, okay, I'm going to throw some hooks. But with those hooks, you didn't pick up the phone. So when you decided that you're going to throw combinations where you maybe not have more power than Slim, because Slim definitely has power. Slim has power. Long arms, long lanky, people like that. Kelly Pavlik, Tommy Hearns, Fandora. You got to watch for long lanky guys because they bring power with those rails of arms that they have. And he started throwing straight down the middle punches and was walloping Salt Poppy. Then dropped him in the fourth round. And then in the fifth round, just put him down, man. Just put him down to finish. Well, and if it was the fifth round, put him down. He got back up and he couldn't continue after punches in the corner. And they stopped the fight. It was Oh, it was a six-round fight. It was going into the sixth round, and they stopped. It was 14 seconds left. He couldn't hold on, man. If he could have held on, maybe the next round, he probably could have did something to stay on to win the fight, because he was winning the majority of the fight, and Slim just came on and just got it done. So that was, I would say, Cobain. Because Dean the Great and Wally Sharks, man, that was a hell of a fight. Both of those fights were great. Good thing, because now we have the co-main event, the main event. That was very underwhelming. Why? We're going to talk about it real quick. And that is Logan Paul going up against Dylan Danis. Now, Logan Paul is a maverick, the superstar, the WWE superstar, the kid that's going out there doing Spanish flies and clotheslines, flying clotheslines, doing Canadian exploders, everything. And I didn't know he could do it, but he's doing it with flawlessness and class. So he's wanting to get back in the boxing ring. Him and Jake Paul have a little, I don't know, pissing contest about who's a better boxer. He's talking trash. They're talking trash. I'm sitting there thinking, like, damn, like, this how y'all get down? But it seemed like Logan Paul was like, man, like, my boxing career is definitely in question because people are saying, you know, Floyd Mayweather, for you sitting there saying that you won against Floyd just because you lasted the rounds, like, dog, your height and weight alone made you last. need some water there. Height and weight alone made you last. The height and weight alone made you last against Floyd Mayweather. That's first and foremost. Sucked against KSI. So, I mean, you haven't won a boxing match. So, that thing, that was scratching at him. Because the only boxing match that you really won was on a YouTube channel where you fought Ivan Drago's fake impersonator. So, be like, and some other people that you might have beat up on your channel. So, you don't have an official win. So, to get an official win would have been something that he definitely needs. Now, let's talk about the fight. Logan Paul goes against Dylan Danis. Now, the months leading up to this fight, excuse me. The months leading up to this fight. We had nothing but slander, I guess, you know, trolling. I guess in Logan Paul's words, being a predator, I guess you could say this was something that really, really got to Logan Paul because Dylan Danis started reaching out to antagonize his fiance. And then when you start doing that, then next thing you know, it comes pictures, videos, and oh my God, you know. Then became allegations. Oh, your dad's a pedophile. So, I mean, like, there was things said to where Logan Paul was like, man, I'm just going to sue you and call the fight off. And just, you know, it became legal matters. It became, you know, getting the Twitter shut down and all this stuff like that. So it kept building up to where people really wanted to see this fight, all the way up to the point to where literally, when they had a face-off, a little conversation back and forth, it almost got shut down there because it was going to be a fight. Things were thrown, you know, water bottles and things of that nature. So then you have the media day and all that stuff, and Logan Paul's like, you know, I'm trying to chill. Then we had the press day leading up towards the fight on Friday, and Dylan Danis throws a microphone and hits Logan Paul upside the forehead with it. I mean, like, it just seemed like both guys at some points was wanting out the fight. I think at some point Logan was wanting out because his fiance got involved. Dylan Danis was wanting out the fight because he felt like, I think for him, it was more or less, I'm going viral than wanting to fight. I don't think he wanted to fight at all, honestly. Going viral, getting his name out there. We're going to get into that, about how that can backfire on you. Because you still got to fight. And the intros are cool. You know, Maverick had a good one. Dylan Danis came out there to a popular song by the UK that everybody in there was singing. So it was crazy how Dylan Danis became a favorite in this fight by the people. For some odd. Because I guess you think Logan Paul, Jake Paul, people don't like him that much. So Logan Paul was definitely going for the face, you know, trying to go after my fiance. I forgive him. All that stuff hit me at the microphone. But people still was like, I'm going for Dylan Danis. Dylan Danis comes out there, crowd going crazy. So that was the flip. Logan's getting booed, coming out. And then you got Dylan Danis getting cheered. Many men by Logan. I like the style. Come out the mini man. I liked it. Fight starts. Logan comes out there, throws immediate jabs. Couple jab right hands. Dylan Danis shakes his head, acts like, what was that? Then Logan Paul throws a jab to the body, throws another combination. Dylan Danis, hands up, no reaction. That was what the fight was for 6 rounds. And some little bullshit here and there. That's what that fight was. It was Logan Paul throwing combinations at a punching bag that moved and was a prick. I mean, it was like, put a heavy bag in the ring with a little attitude, bad haircut, some shorts, and we'll see what happens. That's what that was. Dylan Danis did not want to fight. He threw a punch. He threw his first punch in the 3rd round. He threw his last punch at a security guard. I rest my case. This man tried to take down Logan Paul in the 5th round. He tried to literally go for a double leg. He tried to go for a double leg. He threw a backhand fist, leading with his elbow out, like Sean Strickland. He threw a up kick. He laid down on his back in the 2nd round, wanting to go and guard like he was Anderson Silva or something against Ace Franklin. Or no, Ace Franklin was against the other Brazilian. What was that Brazilian's name? I can't remember that they had him go up against. He was so mad, so he just kept laying down in the middle of the fight. So he did that number. But then he laid down again in the last round. He tried to clinch and pull Logan down. And he threw an up kick. He threw an up kick. He should never be ever allowed in a box ring again. Ever. Ever. That was an embarrassment. It was a mockery. And he should never, ever be pumped up as a viral fighter. Like, I would have went there and gave a better effort than he did against Logan Paul. And I'm not even in shape. Give me, you know, you give me 6 weeks to a month. I mean, give me 6 weeks, maybe to 3 months. I'm ready. I wouldn't disappoint people like Dylan Danis did. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing, especially for a check. That was embarrassing. He should get some of his money taken away. He should never get the chance to do this ever again. And I would ignore any type of altercational type of provoke, button pressing, anything that he tried to come at anybody with. If you're even Jorge Masvidal, I would ignore that bastard. Because he is a person that would try to pick a fight with LeBron James. I mean, come on, man. Speaking of which, Dean the Great, don't you ever in your life call out Tank Davis, man. Don't you ever in your life call out Tank Stinking Davis. I think that was what he called out Tank Davis. I said, man, what is the world coming to? Like, you barely could beat Wally Sharks, and you think you could beat Tank Davis? Couldn't believe that. That was one thing I remember. I was like, Tank Davis? Really? Tank Davis. Tank Davis would whoop your ass, man. Tank Davis would knock you out cold. Nobody even know Dean the Great like that. Like, to even be feeling sorry for him, to be like, man, Tank shouldn't have did that to him, man. It would be people be laughing because you got knocked out so bad. Don't do that. Like, Tank is the wrong one to do that. Now, close to retirement, yeah. You know, like how Floyd did with McGregor and all these other guys, close to retirement. But while he's in his 20s ready to kill somebody in that ring, don't do that because you'll get hurt. You'll get hurt. You didn't watch the Garcia fight. You didn't watch Santa Cruz. Like, Santa Cruz will beat you up, Dean the Great. He would beat you up. Leo Santa Cruz would hurt you. And he, when you see what Tank did to him, like, come on, bro. Leo Santa Cruz would do some bad things to Dean the Great. Fight Wally Sharks again. I would love to see it. But Dylan Danis should never get a chance to do this again. Ever. Ever. Anthony Taylor hit him so hard outside in front of that hotel. I let me know he ain't no fighter. He ain't no fighter. The way he backed up and hit that car, he did a little Uzi. He did a little... Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, Jesus, man. My Miami Hurricanes suck, by the way, man. I just wanted to say that. Just why not? Give them more hell. They suck. Main event. Now we can talk about the main event that was underwhelming as well. Logan Paul, Dylan Danis didn't save the day, so now it was up to KSI and Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury is a boxer, a pro boxer that has got YouTuber type fame because he was a model. I mean, he was a model fight. You know, he's Tyson Fury's brother. There's a lot of, he was on one of those TV shows. So, I mean, like, he has a little bit of a mix of what he really wants to be and what people see him as. And he's been, you know, the one that YouTubers like Jake Paul and Logan Paul and guys like that, we had KSI, has been eyeing for because he fits in that profile, what would give them legitimacy in the boxing game. Jake Paul already, you know, came up short against Tommy Fury in a fight to where he knocked Tommy Fury down. But Tommy Fury, good jabs, good boxing, got it done. You know, good body shots, good counter. You know, he got Jake Paul in positions where he could not capitalize. He was smothering punches. Jake Paul lost a little bit of sting on his punches. He got a little tired. KSI came out there with no fighting stance at all. I think he stood in a anime stance, hopping. One of the worst things I probably could ever see for a main event fight is somebody like KSI who thinks he's a good fighter and does what he did. Now, if he would have been like, man, I would go back to the drawing board. That was terrible. I didn't, you know, to say it was a robbery, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really went out there. You threw a right hand that was telegraphic so bad that the grandma from Looney Tunes could have seen it coming. You were standing in a stance where you felt like, I'm going to eliminate Tommy Fury's offense, but you just made it to where you held. Like, you. Tommy didn't hold you. You held. So your stance created terrible results of a fight. You are the at fault of a terrible fight. Anybody, nobody would give you that fight. Nobody would give you that fight. There's not a round you think that, there's not even a round close enough for you to win. And I just want to say this. And, you know, if it's somebody, he might have powers to be to sit there and not give me a chance to get heard, or somebody might be like, hey, man, this person said something about you. I don't care. Ariel Helwani, that dude is a clout chasing, media talent that has talent. But it comes off such a, I don't know, man. Like, I would hope if I make it, I wouldn't be like him, put it that way. And be able to interview and talk to these people and stuff like that, and how it can kind of make him as an individual. Vlad TV-ish. But he is a person that's going to be in the faces of these fighters and stuff. And he was able to commentate the fight, which I thought was a terrible idea. It's like almost letting DJ Academics commentate a fight of, I don't know, like let's say if like Chris Brown and Chris Brown and NLE Chopper got into a boxing match, and you let DJ Academics commentated. Like, that's pretty much what I'm getting at. But the crazier thing is that to sit there and act like KSI was winning rounds and like, oh, KSI this and he's doing this and stuff like that, like, stop. Like, it was crazy how he was pretty much like, yeah, he's you know, it's like he's Tommy Fury's not, like, he's definitely regressed since the Jake Paul fight. Like, bro, He was jabbing him coming in, catching him with counter shots. He was hitting him in the body. He couldn't do much because he was being held the whole entire fight. You don't score points that way. You can't even score points that way. So I'm glad the judges did what they did. They gave the fight to Tommy Fury because you know, other than that, you know, you could call it a draw. Because I'm not saying Tommy Fury was flawless out there, but it was really not too much he could do due to the fact that somebody wanted to fight like a fucking coward. Because the only vicious thing he did was throw a crazy blind left right hand. That was it. He didn't throw a jab. He's sitting there asking this man, how many jabs you throw? How many jabs you throw? That just made me mad because I'm more of a fan of boxing than I am being a fan of the YouTuber or I got, you know, who I got my money on and stuff like that. I'm more a fan of the sport when it comes to these types of events because there's no Errol Spence, there's no Bud, there's no Shakur. These is good fights. Good talent for the people that are taking it serious and training. I do appreciate that, but I'm not holding it to where I'm like, man, I'm a fan of this guy. I want to see, I'm more of a fan of the sport of boxing, so don't disrespect boxing. And I feel like Dylan Dennis and KSI did that yesterday. Dylan Dennis and KSI definitely disrespected the sport wholeheartedly. Just did, man. They just definitely did. They did not serve boxing well. So I think Logan Paul, Tommy Fury would definitely have been a better fight. I think punches would have been landed, would have been thrown. I think a finish could have been easily handed. I mean, I just seriously, wholeheartedly believe that that would have been a way better fight. Way better fight. Easy. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Way better fight if that could have happened. It just didn't. And I think he wants that. Logan Paul wants that fight with Tommy Fury. And maybe it could happen. It would have been a better fight between Jake Paul and Tommy Fury rematch. It would be a better fight than what KSI could do. So KSI needs to go back to the drawing board and get his fight together. Get your fight back. He can't fight that way. And think because your last win, you hit a man with a forearm. So, I mean, you can't fight, bro. I'm a person that's going to sit there and say it. Like, you can't fight. Get it together. Go to jail. Get a stance. Get a stance. Get either orthodox, southpaw stance. Learn to jab. Learn how to dip your head. Learn how to move. Learn how to come up with uppercut. Pick up the phone. Like, you went out there and looked like a rugrat. So, Misfit Boxing did a good job leading up to all the way up to the COVID main event, which I felt was trash. So, good event. Still exciting moments. I stood up on a lot of little moments. I thought Salt Poppy and Slim and Dean the Great and Wally Sharks was definitely the main event of the other night. They definitely brought the money. They brought the excitement. They brought the holy shit. The tag match was nice compared to those co-main events and stuff. So I don't know if Astrid Wet and all those other fights in the pre-thing was all that. But all I do know is that KSI looked like Colorado out there, man. Had all the hype, Lamborghinis and shit. Everybody was going crazy, looking good, up 29-0. Then all of a sudden, you fought terrible. Tommy Fury went out there, did what he was supposed to do, and looked like Stanford came and stole all your fans. I mean, that's what it looked like. Because everybody was JJ, KSI, this and stuff like that. And, you know, only fan that KSI had after the end of that night was Ariel Helwani, and he gets on my damn nerves. Period. 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 Man, next week, though, 294, cannot believe it's on a Sunday, but we got Volkanovski and Maya Kayev, too. Cannot wait for that fight. Cannot wait for that fight, man. Like, that is going to be one hell of a fight. Islam Makhachev, Alexander Volkanovski. It is going down October 21st on a Saturday, 2 p.m. So it's going overseas. Fighting overseas, of course, you gotta be ready to watch the fights early. I'm going to be ready, just like I was ready yesterday, because the fight started at 2 p.m. So I'm definitely going to be pumped up. Kamaru Usman going against Kasmaev. I can't say these damn names. He was mad at Devin Haney for sitting there saying what he said a few years ago. He brought it back up. I'm sitting there saying, I unfriended him on this. I don't follow him no more and stuff like that. Talking about you can't beat, and ain't no white boy going to beat him. And, you know, Devin Haney do got to get checked for saying that. You know, knowing how he said it and what he means, I know he ain't mean no racist intent, but you got to understand that was racist. In a sense, that was. Can't say things like that, being a professional fighter, a champion, fighting guys of all races. You fight Mexicans, you fight Filipinos, you fight white men, you fighting you know, Africans you're fighting. So, I mean, like, you should say, hey, there ain't no African gonna beat me either. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no Frenchman gonna beat me. Nobody can beat me. Nobody. You can't break it down to a person, to a race. You just can't do that, man. Be the individual and say, nobody can beat me, then you won't have no problems. But that is that. So you got Magomed, which I've seen him fight before. Magomed Ankalaev going against Johnny Walker. It's a good card, man. It's a good card. Islam was supposed to go against Charles Oliveira. That got canceled, thank God. Paulo Costa was supposed against Chizmayev. That got canceled, thank God. And we're getting a rematch between Islam. Thank God. You know what I'm saying? This is all great. It's all great. It's all great, man. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Usman can get some stones back if he wins against Chizmayev, which I doubt very seriously, man. I don't see him losing that fight at all. I do see Islam losing because I felt he lost the first fight against Alexander. Me and my good friend Mark, who's been on the show before, we both was like, man, that was a sham. Pure sham. Definitely a sham. Definitely should have won that fight, Alexander Volkanovski. And like I said, Kazmat, I want to see him lose because he talks a lot of shit. He talks a lot of shit. And if Usman beat him, that would be crazy, man. That'd be crazy if he beat him, man. That'd be wild. Really would. So I'm geared up. Cannot wait for that. Boxing schedule tells me that we have on the horizon on that side of things. Joshua Buitzi going against Dan Aziz. Dan Aziz, a good fighter. Jack Cottrell. I'm going up against Jorge Linares. Jack Cottrell's a good junior welterweight. And then you got Alexis Rochoa going against Giovanni Santillan. So that's a good batches of fights for October 21st coming up in a week. So boxing and MMA going against each other and that good stuff. Like I said, there's a lot of you got a lot of big time fights coming up this week or next week, should I say. And I just hope people, you know what I'm saying, stay in tune, stay entertained, keep on X, Twitter, keep that, the banter going, the fighters, the fans, you know, keep, you know, I think the Boxing Voice do an excellent job of making sure people, the fans, and stay involved with the fight game, give them their flowers. I listen to them every day. You know, not something that I strive to be like them. I wouldn't want to be a call-in type setup like that. But that's probably one of the best setups that they have and own and be pretty much by yourself with that. I mean, like, literally, one of the best, I'm going to give them a flash real quick, one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to be that consistent on, we're going to come out and we're going to let the people be the voice. And the way he has done that for the years, I've been following the Boxing Voice since about, I say, a good 12 years. I've been following him a good 12 years, and they have been whooping ass out there. So hats off to the Boxing Voice, Nestor Gibbs. And I know he's probably had like 7 co-hosts, but I think Danny, who has been his guy here lately in the past few years. So that's that, me giving out the compliments. Other compliment I want to give out is Bruce Buffer, man. Michael Buffer, excuse me. Michael Buffer still out there getting it done for the co-main event. Let's go! Main event, let's get ready to rumble. They ain't got a co-main event thing now. You know, let's go! Still out there getting it done. Michael Buffer. I was tripping on that. I said, still out there getting it done. Other little things I wanted to add, man. What was it? That's right. That was the one thing I did wanted to add in this whole little episode before I get on off here. And that is, watching the trailer of Devin Haney and Regis Prograis, man. Like, I didn't already post it on the TikTok, but watching it, you know what I'm saying, with, you know, people, friends watching the fight and stuff like that, people to chirping and stuff like that. Devin Haney, man, look, You don't want to come into that 140 and take an L. Ray just looks very, very pumped up. And that promo definitely is a winner. I mean, I don't think nothing can beat Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou, but this is a better fight than that fight. But, man, it's going down. It's going down. Regis, Devin Haney, can't wait. That promo is looking real good. I hope Shakur and Edwin gets a promo so we can see before their fight. That'd be nice. I mean, this is pumping up the sport. That's all I wanted to say before I got off here. You pump up the sport this way, that is how you do it. You do it in that general fashion, and I think everybody's going to be entertained by that. Not enough of that is going on, especially with Terrence and Arrow. They didn't get nothing like that. That needs to happen. You know, those types of things that what builds up the fight, what makes people get more entertained by it, gets built up. It's a build up. Is there animosity? Go watch that trailer. It could be a little bit now. Yeah, Regis sitting there calling Devin Haney manufacturing. He's fake. He ain't no real champion. I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to finish him. Then you got Haney playing it cool. You know, Regis. I mean, that what makes a person be like, man, I want to see that. You go and watch Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou. It's like, take my money. I want to see that. So, cannot wait. I already told you what's going on next weekend. So, we're going to talk about that during the week. So, it's fight week all over again. Fight week all over again. We had a nice little event yesterday. Tim Dazoo got a fight done last night. So that's going to be my show. And I hope everybody has a good day and enjoy Sauce Talk. And I'm out.
Black, stop playing with him.